we live, we love, we serve. Amen. I want to go to a familiar story today. I shared some of this yesterday in LA. I want to go back to it. John, Gospel of John, the 5th chapter. Beginning at verse 1, going through verse 9. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version of Scripture, John 5, 1 through 9. This is how it reads. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there's a pool called in the Hebrew Bethesda, or as we know, Bethesda, which has 5 porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I'm making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Now that day was a Sabbath. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you, O God, for this time that you set aside for us to gather together in this place and in this space. God, we come through many dangers, toils, and snares. We come over a way that with tears has been watered, O God. We come, O God, trusting and believing because we know intimately of your redeeming power, your saving power. God, thank you for preparing tables in front of our enemies. Thank you because you reminded us, oh God, as long as we keep on living, that one day you would make our enemies our footstools, oh God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that even in those moments when we feel alone, goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives. God, we thank you. Thank you, oh God, for this time. Thank you for this season. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for this day. Thank you for our life. Thank you for our families. Thank you for our children. Thank you, oh God, for making us the way you did. Many of us beautifully kissed by the sun. God, we thank you. We thank you, God. Now, oh God, whatever you need to do to get the glory out of this moment, oh God, continue to have your way. Continue to have your way. We love you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to lift verse 6 and 7, or 6 through 8 of that passage I read. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" I love that in the King James Version, every now and again, "Wilt thou be made whole?" I like that. "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answers, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I'm making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Amen. Do me a favor, turn to your neighbor, just simply tell them, "Neighbor, neighbor, it's time." Come on, turn to the other neighbor, tell them, "Neighbor, neighbor, it's time." Come on, put your hands together and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. It's time. Somebody need to hear that today. It's time. This place, Bethesda, with its 5 porches and its pool, has become unbeknownst to some, a cruel place. You don't really get that from reading the narrative, but it was a cruel place, almost a taunting space, known as Bethesda. Now, Bethesda means in the Hebrew, house of mercy. House of mercy. But how could the house of mercy become a cruel place? It should represent this idea that not only is God merciful, but in that space, mercy is on the agenda for all. But Bethesda had not become that. It became a cruel place based not just on a myth, but on an occurrence that would happen. The story said, or the belief was, that once a year, those waters at the pool of the House of Mercy would start to stir up and get troubled. And the belief was, because it had been happening for some, is that whoever was the first one to get to the pool every year, when the pool would be stirred up in trouble, that person would be made well. I know it sounds like a place of hope, a place of possibility to imagine that when those waters start to move, when you get to the pool, you would be made well. The problem was, is that everyone was not going to be made well. Only those or the person who could get to the water first would be made whole. The House of Mercy became a place of competitive healing because it was surrounded, as this text says, of the paralyzed, the lame, those who were wounded and damaged and physically broken. And they would gather there year after year, believing and hoping individually that they would be the one who would be healed. You need to see the scene. Can you see all the people there, hurt and damaged, wounded, and in some ways physically broken, hoping that somehow they would be the one to get to the water first? This is a cruel space because those who may have been severely damaged were not really going to be the ones to make it to the pool unless they were assisted. But the problem was, if everybody is there looking for their healing, no one is really going to help anybody because everyone is hoping to be the first one to enter into the pool to get their breakthrough. It was a cruel place because those who were deeply wounded or deeply damaged came there year after year, probably out of habit, hoping that somehow they could get there first, but it didn't happen. That every year one person would leave, and more than likely that one person wasn't too damaged like many were there. And year after year, one person would leave better than the way they came. This time in the text, it was during the season, what they called the Festival of Tabernacles or Booths. In other words, this was a high holy season in Jerusalem because the people would gather in a pilgrimage at this point every year, and they would build kind of mobile tabernacles, mobile tents made of branches to memorialize, to remember the time when they were journeying for 40 years in the wilderness, and they were building temporary tents, temporary tabernacles. That's why this holiday again was known as the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths. They were there to remember that God had provided, that God had directed, that God had led them through the wilderness. And while everybody is there celebrating what God had done, a whole bunch of folk were sitting at the pool hoping God would do something. And there, year after year, yes, individual was healed, but most people left there still broken, still damaged, still hoping, still dreaming. And on this particular day, the scripture says that Jesus came and made his way down to Bethesda's pool. I don't know, maybe Jesus knew the story about the pool. Maybe he came to see what the condition was, but the scripture says when he came, he made his way to one person. this one person. Maybe Jesus had surmised that he was the most damaged. Maybe he was the most broken. That it says that he had been sick for 38 years, ill for 38 years. It didn't say he was born that way, because that would have suggested something different. He wasn't born this way. He became ill and lost the ability to walk. He once knew what it was, but now it wasn't happening. And he came for 38 years hoping that he would be the one to be healed, and it didn't happen. And Jesus makes his way to him, the one who may have been in the worst situation. Jesus shows up to him. The man did not ask for help. He did not send out invitations for help. He did not make it known he needed Jesus, but Jesus showed up. I didn't come to talk about that piece, but you need to get that this morning, that there are moments. I love the moments in my life when I feel depleted and empty, and God has a way of reminding me of God's presence and has a way of showing up in those moments. You ever get blindsided by God's presence? You didn't anticipate God to come through a particular way, and all of a sudden God just showed up in the midst of what you were dealing with and going through, and you knew the only response you could really have was to celebrate. Yes, celebrate the fact that God showed up. Yes, celebrate the fact that God remembered you and did not leave you by yourself. And this man was waiting for the water to stir up, and there's no definite guarantee that he and the others were actually waiting for God. They were waiting for the water to move, and they believed that when the water moved, something would happen. And this man had been sick for 38 years there by the pool. Jesus shows up, and when he shows up, he comes with a pressing question that makes all the sense in the world. When you see someone who's deeply damaged or wounded, he asks that pressing question: do you want to be made well? Do you want to be better? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be changed? Do you want to experience transformation? Do you want this to be the last day you'll be like this? Do you want to be made well? And then something is revealed to us in the story. What is revealed to us is the depth of the man's damage. Because the real damage ain't physical. It's not the physical damage. It is when our spirits are broken. And when we are emotionally wounded, that is far deeper than physical ailment. You know, you can have physical affliction but still show up. You can have a physical sickness, but still, I can testify to that. Sick all the time, dealing with a rare disease, but I keep on showing up. This is just me testifying. I'm not trying to, I gotta keep on showing up, and I keep on preaching and keep on teaching, even in the midst of moments when I wasn't feeling well and my body was giving out. Why? Because when you know what God has done, you never fall victim to the emotional damage that can come because of the physical woundedness. I hope I'm talking to somebody here today, that you can show up defying the damage by holding a disposition that doesn't reflect the woundedness but reflects the healing, not of the body, but when your mind is right, even when your body don't cooperate. Oh, y'all missed that for a second. I know you missed that. I emerge from a people, from an island on called Barbados, who came from a continent known as Africa, who knew when they came to the stores in Barbados, or even here, they came as enslaved people. And the truth is, and we already know this, that enslavement, slavery, was not designed to end. It was designed to break completely, to break utterly. And yet you and I sit here today as the offspring of people who couldn't be emotionally broken. I hope you get that today. that you and I, no matter who you are, where you're from, you are the descendants of people who physical damage could not destroy their mind, their desire. Yeah, you might got my feet shackled, but you can't have my heart. You might have my wrist shackled, but you can't have my mind. I need you to understand. People who are being physically broken still found a way to write songs and make up spirituals and still keep hope because they understood. You might have my body, but my mind ain't for sale. You may have my body, but my spirit cannot be co-opted. That's who we come from. That's who we come from. If there's anybody who can teach this world how to handle stress, handle trauma, handle despair, handle the worst conditions and still survive, it is us. In fact, the world ought to pay attention to the descendants of the warriors who understood how not to be broken no matter what someone tried to do. You see, when I celebrate Black history, I remember those folk whose names we didn't know, and whose names those who thought they owned them didn't know. Because just because you name me don't mean you know me. They didn't even know who they were dealing with. Oh my God. You can be physically damaged, but if you're emotionally wounded, spiritually broken, that's a different level. When this man heard that question, the revelation of his damage rose to the fore. He was asked a simple question that should be easy if you've been sick for 38 years to answer. Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be better? Do you want to walk again? He couldn't answer. He couldn't say yes. He couldn't say no. Because the damage was deeper than his body. In the face of possible breakthrough, he didn't have an answer. In the face of what would be a day of transformation, he didn't have an answer. Do you want to be made well? No, yes, no, no. What he did is what we often do when we've internalized our situation, when we've accepted it, and don't believe anything else can come from it, we create a narrative that reinforces the damage. We do not speak necessarily words of healing or breakthrough once we've internalized it. We simply create narratives that lament the woundedness. And when Jesus asked this man, did he want to be made well? Look at what he said. I have no one to take me to the pool. When the waters are troubled, no one helps me. For 38 years, it's been torture to see people leave. Because if he's been there for 38 years, that possibly, it doesn't necessarily say, but possibly, he may have seen 38 people get better, but not him. That's hard when you see others come out, but you still in. Oh, I'm talking to somebody here. Where you pray and pray, but what you pray for don't come your way. But you see other people get restored and healed. And after seeing that for year upon year, you begin to believe that maybe that's not in my future. Maybe where I am is where I will be, because you begin to accept the terms and of your captivity, and you start creating a narrative. Well, you know, there was a time that could have happened for me, but that time is past. There was a time that I think things could have worked out differently, but that time has passed. Have you ever been there in your journey when you accepted what has been given to you, where you have accepted what has been heaped upon you, and then if what you've accepted is connected to your own damage, then you find yourself in a space where you no longer believe that breakthrough is a possibility? Do you know the depths you've gone when you believe that that hope ain't real for you, and that breakthrough ain't real for you, and that healing ain't real for you, and that restoration ain't real for you? You even go to church week in and week out, going through the motions, but you don't really believe that what is on the agenda is for you. You serve in the building, but not believing that God will deliver you, because you start creating habits of your melancholy, habits out of your misery. And to accompany the narrative, you have habits that almost demonstrate that you've accepted where you are, as though where you are is the only way you will always be. But you got to get to a point in your life that you are in defiance of the damage. And well, no. Let me stay true to the text, because a man is never defiant. He accepts. He accepts the conditions. He accepts the circumstance. And he believes that that is what will happen. But here's what happens. What happens in your life when you now accept what God won't allow? Oh, God, I hope you got what I just said. When you accept what God won't allow. See, I'm talking to somebody in here today. You've accepted certain circumstances, but you didn't know God won't allow you to remain there. That you've accepted certain things in your life, but God won't allow you to remain there. That you've accepted that this is all I'll ever be. This is all I'll never know. But God won't let you stay there. Is there anybody in here who can testify in those moments when God refused to let you stay in your misery, in your melancholy, in your depression, in your anxiety, in your despair? God said, I'm not going to leave you there. And even if you don't want to go, I'm going to get you out, even if it's fighting against your will. Oh my God. I'm so glad that God doesn't wait for permission to bless my life. That God doesn't even wait for my approval to make a way. That God doesn't, even when I don't participate, God moves in my life. But when he asked that man, do you want to be made well? He could not give an answer because he had accepted the terms of his life. And I gotta say it again, beloved. I know what it may look like now, and I know how it may feel now, but there's more on the way. That don't believe that where you are now is where you will stay, especially when you put your hands in God's hands. Don't believe that where you are now is where you will remain, especially when you trust in God. Am I speaking to anybody in here this morning who needs to hear this morning? That yes, what you see now is really where I am, but don't get me stuck in this space, because I will not remain in this place, because God is about to move in my life. And Jesus looks at the man who's sitting in his misery, and he simply says, get up. Get up. Get up. Just get up. Oh, God, it's that simple. No magic formula. No laying on of hands. No spitting in mud. Nothing. Get up. Oh, God, get up. In fact, no, let's add this. It's time for you to get up, because you've been down there too long. You've been accepting the situation too long, and there's no reason for you to remain where you are. Get up. From where you are, get up out of that space. And I don't mean the literal space, I mean this space. Get up from the place where you've accepted. Get up from the place that you think nothing good will happen. Rise from that space and let God get the glory in your life. He told the man, get up. Oh my God, it makes me wonder. And I think I said this even yesterday. You know how it is when you've been down so long that getting up don't cross your mind? that you've been broken and hurt too long, so much that you felt bad for so long, you've seen so many things pass you by that you stop even believing that rising above where you are can even happen for you. And sometimes it takes a jolt, a push, a nudge, and someone to come like Jesus and say, get up. I don't want to see you like this anymore. You don't have to stay here anymore. You can rise above your circumstance. I already told you the people we come from that I know I come from who had to rise above their circumstance and keep having belief. Do you know what it is to procreate in captivity? You know what it's strength it takes to give birth when you're in bondage? You know what it is to have children when you know they're going to have the same experience you had, and yet they kept on doing it. Why? Because no matter what happened to them, they were still finding ways not just to give birth physically, but emotionally and spiritually as well. It's time. That's what Jesus was telling the man. It's time. You've been here long enough, and I don't even want to hear the story. Get up. Stop talking and start moving. Get up. Don't talk about the story no more. Don't cry, woe is me. Don't tell the same story you've been telling all these years, talking about who don't like you and who don't want you and who won't let you in and who don't care about you and who talk about you and how this person ain't your friend and this person rejected you. No, get up from where you are and make up in your mind that no matter what the situation is, that I will rise above it. Get up. Tell somebody, get up. Yeah, get up. You've been sitting here too long. You even found a way to romanticize your bruising. Get up. You've been here too long. You found a way to make sense out of your misery. Get up. You've been here too long repeating the same sad story and trying to get new attention to your old story. Get up from where you are and begin to find out what God is doing. Because here's the thing. God won't wait for you. God will start snatching you and help you to get up to see who you really are. Because sometimes when you're down so long, you can't have a full assessment of who you really are. Now, sometimes when you are down too long, you don't see the possibility of the fullness of who you are. And it takes other people that God might send. Oh, I know I'm talking to somebody now. You ever had those people that were on divine assignment show up in your life to remind you that you were better than the situation you are in right now? No. You ever had those folks look at you and say, listen, I care for you too much to let you stay in that space right there. I've been coming around you. You've been singing the same song, declaring the same sad narrative, but no, I love you too much to let you stay there. I don't want to hear it no more. Come on, get up. Let's go. Let's get our life together. Let's get ourselves together. Get up. And then here's the part I like, and I'll be done. Because Jesus could have just said, get up and run. Because, man, that man would have ran. Get up and run. Can you imagine what he told the man? He would have jumped up and ran. But he got up and he gave direction. Threefold breakthrough. First, get up. Two, the thing that been carrying you, you now carry it. Oh, God. Get up. Look back. Pick up what you've been sitting on. Because you know why? Some folk won't believe it's you if there's no evidence of the old you. Oh, God, you got to get that. Sometimes you got to carry just a little evidence. Oh, no, it's me. I know, Serena, you might not be used to seeing me this way, but remember this thing right here? Oh, yeah. That's why I've learned to keep my mats around sometimes. Oh, God, you get that. You got to keep your mats around. The things that used to hold you back and hold you down. No, no. Shift the relationship with the... Oh, you didn't get it. Okay. Change the dynamics of the relationship with the spaces, places, and people who are keeping you in bondage. Yeah, yeah. Shift the dynamics. Let them know, yeah, I needed you when I didn't know I had myself. Oh, no. You didn't catch that. I needed you when I didn't know I had myself. Let me talk over here. I needed you when I didn't know I had myself. But when I realized I had myself, it was no longer a necessity for you, especially when you were reinforcing the negativity I felt about myself. No, that sometimes when you get to that awakening, keep them close enough to see you rise, but far enough that they can't pull you down anymore. Take up your mat. Three, walk. Oh God, I like that part. I told folk in LA, I said, I like the walk part. He didn't say, Ryan, say you're mad and run, because I would have broke out. Walk. Take a slow walk. Make sure everybody get to see you. Make sure everybody gets to see who you are. You ever just get up in front of someone, just don't say a word. Why? Because your walking is the evidence that you've been changed. And you just keep on moving. Look at your neighbor, tell him, walk slow. Ain't no need to rest when you know who's on your side. Ain't no need to run when you know who's got your back. Rise. Take up your mat. And now, what are you going to do? Walk where? Into your new season. Your new day. Anybody here know it's time? Look at your neighbor and tell them, neighbor, it's time to walk into your new season. Come on, tell somebody else, neighbor, it's time to walk into your new season. You've been praying about it. Walk into it. You've been asking for it. Walk into it. You've been asking folk to partner with you. Walk into it. Don't stay where you are right now. Walk into your new season. In fact, look at your neighbor and tell them, neighbor, I need to know. Are you ready to walk with me? Maybe you've been through some things, because I've been through some things. But right now, we're going to make a partnership. We're going to declare in the atmosphere that we are no longer who we used to be. We're going to let our voices become the choir and raise our voices and declare to the world that God is doing something new in my life. I'm walking into my new season. I'm walking into my breakthrough. I'm walking into my new day, because not only is it time. Oh, no. Not only is it time, but ain't nothing more dangerous than when it's your time and you're ready. Oh, miss you, miss it. Tell somebody, it's time and I'm ready. It's time and I'm ready. I've been damaged long enough. I've been hurt long enough. Is there anybody in here today who can give God a praise and say, God, I'm ready. Any way you bless me, I'll be satisfied. I'm ready. I'm ready to be the head and not the tail. I'm ready to be a lender and not a borrower. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm telling you, I'm ready. For what's on the other side of this moment, I'm ready. And can I share this with you? You know what I've discovered? You know what I've discovered? That when it's time and you're ready, you know what I realize in my life? That in between the recognition that it's time and you're ready, God actually gives you glimpses of the new day. God gives you experiences of what it's going to be like on the other side. I mean, those glimpses are, oh God, here's how the song put it. You know that song, This Is My Story? This is my song. When you get those glimpses of what the new day will be like, didn't know this song would help me. It is simply a foretaste of glory divine. You ready, but God has been giving you glimpses, giving you those experiences. And sometimes you had to fight for those experiences. Sometimes you had to fight for those moments. And here's what you got to be careful of. And I want to hear this. Those glimpses you get of the new day, the glimpses are not the new day. So don't don't get comfortable in the glimpse when you're waiting for the full exposure. I'm telling you what I know. That you will have those experiences of preparation for what's about to take place. Experiences and moments of joy. Experiences and moments of happiness. Experiences and moments of peace. But it's a foretaste of the fullness of what's about to take place in your life. More is on the way. And what is your role? What is your part? One, if it's your time and you're ready and you begin those glimpses, don't speak against the fullness. Don't doubt it. Don't come this far and then doubt it. Don't come this far in your journey and then question, well, God, is this going to happen? Is this door going to open? Is this really going to come? No, you've come too far not to turn back. You've come too far to doubt it now. You've seen too much. You know what it feels like when God protects you in your glimpses, keeps you in the glimpse. Oh my God, when the fullness of the revelation of the joy and the peace arrives, watch this. You've been preparing with the glimpses already. You've been preparing. So when the fullness arrives, you don't lose your mind because you've been getting ready all this time. This is my season. Yeah, for grace and favor. Oh God, this is my season. How many believe that today? Tell somebody, this is my season. How many come today? If you know and believe in your heart, and everybody may not come, don't feel judged on this, but if you know and believe in your heart that this is your season, I want you to come down here today. This is my season. This is my season. And can I tell you this? That's right. You get in the aisles here. Stand with this is it. Because this is what you need to know. This is the one thing you need to know. Here it is. Your season will not look like anybody else's season. It will not look like anyone else's season. Why? Because it's your season. And here's the thing, and this is what you gotta be ready for. Sometimes your season is initiated by disruption. Sometimes your season is initiated by disruption and by discomfort. But don't let the disruption and the discomfort define. Oh, I like that. I heard you. Disruption, discomfort, and even destruction. Sometimes, in order to build the new, you got to tear down the old. You see? But you can't let those things be the definition, it's the initiation of something profound. And you gotta say this and know this, that here's the thing, the reason why it can be disruptive and cause discomfort and even destruction is because it's new. and you've never seen it. So stop trying to look for familiar spaces in the new season. Because what you're really saying is, I want to repeat what I know, not step into what I've never seen. So that it's okay if it's a struggle. It's supposed to be. You laying a new foundation in your life. It's gonna be challenging. But when you know in your heart, no matter what the discomfort, the disruption, or the destruction, here's what you gotta come back to. It's my season. It's my season. And I'm so committed to my season, I don't care what shows up to make me feel uncomfortable. I'm committed to my new season. And can I add this to it, Michelle? I can't live this new season for nobody else but me. So if you're looking for me to explain it to you, sorry. If you're looking for me to get approval for you for my new season, sorry. It's my new season. God is doing something, stirring up some things. But you know what? It's time. And you're ready. You're ready. In fact, let me give you a new perspective on the things you've been going through. Sometimes we say, Pastor, I'm catching hell, or this is tough, or this is just rough. Let me give you a new perspective. All that stuff you were going through to get to this point, new word, preparation. Preparation. God has been preparing you for this season. And when you lean in and cross over, nothing will be the same again. Nothing will remain the same again. Come on, beloved, let's go to God. God, we thank you today. 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 For God, sometimes we've been afraid of our new season because we got comfortable with our chaos and comfortable with the depression and anxiety and the misery. But God, we don't mind being uncomfortable for our breakthrough today. We don't mind being uncomfortable for our breakthrough today. We don't mind being uncomfortable for our breakthrough. So God, we're here declaring that it's time and we're ready. God, help us to fight against the feelings that we're not ready. For God, you know what we've been through. You know what we've endured. You know what we've experienced. Remind us that it was all preparation for this moment, for this season, for this day. God, you've been preparing us. 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 The things we thought that came to damage came to build. You've been preparing us. The seasons of discontent, you've been preparing us. God, and here we stand. Stronger, wiser, better, ready for our new season. We love you, Lord. We honor you, God. And it's in your name we pray. And we say amen. 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 Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise on you.